Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. If a person offers obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya, even due to accepting him only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish and he will ultimately get liberation. Purport. Krishna is so merciful that he always thinks of how to liberate the conditioned souls from the material platform. It is for this reason that Krishna incarnates as clearly indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hidamasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam adamasya tadatmanam srijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Bhagavad Gita 4:7. Krishna always protects the living entities in many ways. He comes himself, he sends his own confidential devotees, and he leaves behind him shastras like Bhagavad Gita. Why? It is so that people may take advantage of the benediction to be liberated from the clutches of Maya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas so that even a foolish person who accepted him as an ordinary sannyasi would offer him respect, for this would help diminish his material distresses and ultimately liberate him from the material clutches. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati points out in this connection that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Sri Radha and Krishna. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Therefore, when fools considered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary human being and thus treated him disrespectfully, the merciful Lord, in order to deliver these offenders, accepted sannyas so that they would offer him obeisances, accepting him as a sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas to bestow his great mercy on people in general who cannot appreciate him as Radha and Krishna themselves. Magyana tumaranda siya gyananjana shilakaya chakshu militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano bishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tvam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Goranki Radhe Vrindavanishvari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Okay, so please repeat after me. If an ordinary person offers obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, even due to accepting him only as an ordinary sannyasi, his material distresses will diminish and he will ultimately get liberation. Okay. Okay, so begging for your blessings so we can speak something on this particular verse in purport. So this area, or this point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is an expression of the extensive mercy of the Lord. The Lord has many qualities, and in various situations, different qualities will manifest. In this particular point, We understanding, as Prabhupada is saying in the first line of this purport, that Krishna is so merciful that he always thinks of how to liberate the conditioned souls from the material platform. So, it's sometimes understood that the pure devotee is always meditating on the Lord and the Lord's pastimes. The engagement in this devotional process and the endeavor to liberate the fallen conditioned souls of this world, this is also a form of leela. This is also a pastime of the Lord. So when the living entity is meditating like Krishna in this way, when he is trying to, or she is trying to understand how to free people of the clutches of Maya, that meditation is extremely potent. It is extremely powerful. And it is also extremely purifying. Therefore, Prabhupada says that engaging in the Sankirtan mission is not different from entering into the Rasa Leela. Because the principle of selflessness, the principle of selfless service, the principle of removing ourselves from the center and putting Krishna, his desires, his will in the center is in essence what is going on in the Rasa Leela. In the Rasa Leela, it seems from the mundane perspective to be materialistic enjoyment. But it is transcendental service. Because every one of those personalities engaged in that pastime are simply and selflessly trying to engage in activities to give pleasure to the Lord. This is what is going on. In this particular place in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada is bringing out the reason for Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas. So we understand that this verse is there in the Shikshamrita, in the Shikshashtakam, that we're meant to give all respects to other people, and we're not meant to take any respect for ourselves. Right? And then we have Lord Chaitanya, who's Bhakta Avatar. He's decided to take a position whereby people will respect him. Sounds strange. So what is the difference between the endeavor for respect in the mundane sense and the endeavor for respect in this transcendental sense? This is a real deep point. It is the selfless desire to facilitate and serve the needs of others. And the key word here is selfless. The key word here is selfless. When one takes a position such as sannyas, that is a position of authority. And with that position of authority comes respect. In this world, in the mundane view, you could consider that people don't like authority. But it's wrong. Everyone, without exception, loves authority. But everyone, without exception, hates exploitation. There's no issue with authority, save and distinctly for the fact that authority in the mundane world has always come with manipulation, control, and exploitation. The Vedic paradigm is so deep, so rich, the culture is so profound, that whenever we understand anything, when you look into it, you can find all kinds of extremely refined detail. And this is a principle that everyone or anyone who ever takes a position of leadership or authority needs to understand. Right? So, we understand that there is the Purusha and there is the Prakriti. Purusha means the controller, the enjoyer. Krishna is the eternal Purusha. And every living entity are there for Krishna's enjoyment. We are what? Part and parcel of Krishna. Mamaya Vamso Jivaloke. But there is a fine point to this. That whenever one occupies a position of controller or position of authority, that means that by definition, they cannot be the center. In other words, if someone is a king, they are in the position of control, the position of power, the position of influence, the position of authority. So if someone is the king and in a position of authority, who is the center? The citizens. You understand? And that means that if someone is in power, it means that the entire focus of their power must be on or must be for the well-being of those personalities that they have power over. Otherwise, it's sinful. So when there is power, that person, that king, that leader, that authority, they cannot be the center. That means that when you have power, your power must descend upon the people that you have power over. Otherwise, there will be some type of shortcoming, there will be some kind of reaction, there will be some kind of destruction, some negative effect. So Lord Chaitanya displays this perfectly. He has taken sannyas, therefore he is in a position of authority. But everything he does is for the well-being of those people he has authority over. That is the model of power. That is the model of how to wield power, respect, and authority in such a way that it does not destroy you. And what happens as a result is that no one will have an issue with you being in the position of authority. These are the fine points. Krishna wants the living entities to engage in pure devotional service. Why? Because that's how Krishna acts. Krishna is the ultimate leader in all subtle respects of the word. He does not ask a living entity to do anything that he himself not only does not do first, but does not do ongoingly, consistently, and comprehensively. Every aspect of Krishna's activities are simply dedicated to giving pleasure to his devotees. This is the degree and the unlimited quality of Krishna's compassion. When you search this reality, and when you come across a person who is so powerful, but uses his power and influence to arrange the entire nature of reality in such a way that his parts and parcels experience and enjoy more than he does, then you will have found the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, in the Krishna book, Prabhupada explains that the gopis enjoy hundreds of millions of times more than the Lord himself. We should understand this platform. There is absolutely no real rasa, no real rasa in selfishness. So whenever we meet an individual who is selfish, we should understand Atmaha. They are a killer of their own soul and they are uneducated. Even if the seeming result in the short term seems okay, there is no taste in being selfish. And that is why when you examine the character of Krishna and all of his associates on that pure spiritual platform, what you will notice is that selfishness is conspicuous by its absence. Because that is the ultimate and the original formula for happiness. Our conditioning is so deep and so intense that we foolishly think that by doing something selfish, something self-centered, that we will somehow eke out a greater quality of experience. No, it will always be inferior. We can examine and we can understand the opulences that we have misused in previous lives by seeing the opulences that we have no access to in this life. When you examine your life, when you examine your consciousness, you can trace out what was misused previously by what we have no access to right now. Someone struggles in terms of respect. Because we're talking about this point. Why? Someone is continuously disrespected in this life. Why? Because in their previous life, the respect that they were given, they abused it. As it said in the mundane world, you use it or lose it. So we have a great culture, and there is extreme depth to this culture. If we only have the intelligence to really understand it. In this verse, it's explained, if a person offers obeisances, his material distresses will diminish. It's interesting. You can examine the material world, what unites people. Unfortunately, one of the things that unite us all is this experience of material distress. And our material distress is actually increasing. We think it's increasing as devotees because of Krishna consciousness, but it's wrong. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki Jai Shri Shri Goni Tai Guru Parampara Shri Prabhupada Tulsi Maharani ki Jai. Mama Klangana ki Jai. Our material distresses, there's another category of material distress that we experience. And that category of material distress is due to misapplication of Krishna consciousness. You understand? Right now, as devotees, we may consider that Krishna consciousness is difficult. But if we examine Krishna consciousness carefully, we will find that in many cases, it's not that Krishna consciousness is difficult. It's that our particular misapplication of Krishna consciousness is difficult. There is the process of Krishna consciousness, and there is the individual application of Krishna consciousness. And we have to be very careful to distinguish between the two things. Now, there is your Rolls Royce, and there is that bad driver who doesn't know how to deal with that particular vehicle. Right? It's just that we're so self-centered that we will claim it's the car. No, it's your driving. Right? How well do we apply this process? Do we really believe that the acharyas are compassionate? And if we do believe that they're compassionate, why would they give us something that we can't do? Krishna wants you to have the best. The acharyas want the living entities to have the best. Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, wants every living entity to have the best. So why would they ever give you an instruction if it wasn't actually for the best? Right now in our present world culture, so many of those people who are born with some type of understanding of Vedic culture are walking away from it because they simply do not understand how it's in their best interest to follow these teachings. And the people that surround them have not had the understanding of why it's meant to be followed. And they cannot explain it to those other people, so people are walking away. Never be confused about Krishna consciousness. Never think that because you're in the fire of Krishna consciousness, you're okay. It's not that simple. Now the question is, you have some piece of metal in the fire. Is the metal going deeper into the fire and getting more and more hot? Is that piece of metal taking on increasingly the quality of the fire, or is that metal moving away from the fire? Right? There is your situation and there is your destination. So some people are in Krishna consciousness, but they're moving away. By misapplication, they're moving away. And there are other people who have some experience of Krishna consciousness and they're diving in more deeply. So never be confused. We have to also consider what is our orientation. Are we going more deeply into Krishna consciousness, or are we becoming more cool? Because there is simply no middle ground in life. we're becoming more Krishna conscious, or we are becoming less Krishna conscious. And you know what the funny thing is? If we apply Krishna consciousness properly, there is a guarantee that we will become more Krishna conscious. So the orientation is intimately connected to how we apply. What does Prabhupada say? He says to know God is to love Him. You see? Krishna consciousness has its own gravitational force. It has its own controlling shakti. Because if we actually knew what we were getting ourselves into, we would dive in. So we have to remember that. If I find myself becoming cold in spiritual life, it means I'm not sufficiently reminding myself of what I have. I'm not sufficiently reminding myself of the culture, and I'm not sufficiently taking advantage. And that is the only reason why I would think that there is something higher than Krishna consciousness. And that's the only reason why I would think that I can get something greater, some greater quality of experience by engaging with the treacherous, and I do mean treacherous, material energy. The material energy in one sense isn't a problem. The material energy itself is inferior. But you know what the problem is? In one sense, it's the person who's operating that material energy. It's like, you know, you have some individual. He or she's not very intelligent, right? They're not very smart. They're trying to tell you, they're trying to sell you something over the phone. And in salesmanship, they have what's called objection handling. So the idea is when the salesperson's trying to sell you something, they've already worked out what the objection should be, right? What you may say in order to get out of buying their product. So they know how to respond. So you have a salesperson. He or she's not very experienced, not very good. They can still sell you something. You may be adamant you don't want to buy it, but they're on the other side of the phone talking to you, and their experienced sales director is standing with them. He's listening, or she's listening in on the call and telling them how to respond to you. So that salesperson is new. They're not very adept, but that's not the thing. That's not the point. The point is who's guiding them. So Deviye Shugunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Duratyaya. This material energy of mine is actually very difficult to overcome. But how can it be difficult to overcome? Because Krishna has already explained in the Bhagavad Gita that it's inferior. It's inferior to who? Aperyamitas tvanyam prakritim vidimepram jivabhuta mahabaho yayadam dayate jagat. This material energy which is harassing us, as he's explaining this verse, material distresses. This material energy that is harassing the living entities is inferior. But the point is that the inferior is being controlled by a superior intelligence. Therefore, it acts in a superior way. In Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, text number 12 in the purport, Prabhupada says, every major decision should be confirmed by some authority. You see? This is one of the key points in application. We think, I will make the decisions by myself because I'm free, I'm independent. No, you will always gain an inferior result by making decisions by yourself. You will always gain an inferior result by making decisions by yourself. Because when you scan something or when you try to conclude, make a decision, by your own intelligence, there's some angle that you can miss. So, why would you lose out by thinking about it yourself and then checking in with some trusted authority just in case there's an angle that you haven't seen in making that decision? Why are we so foolish that we narrow things down to our own limited perception? when you can take advantage of the unlimited intelligence of the devotee association. And then when it goes wrong, we claim that, you know, Krishna consciousness is difficult. No, it is simply our application. It is simply our application. The way that the Vedic kings would arrange their life in a certain way. The Vedic kings were trained in a very deep and profound understanding of the modes of material nature. So they all understood that the morning time and the mode in the morning is a mode of goodness. So therefore, the morning hours are golden hours. So the morning time was for their sadhana and for their contemplation and for their planning. Because they knew that every moment of time spent in contemplation, planning and sadhana in the morning is worth more later on. So they would also sleep early so they could wake up early. Why? To gain more golden hours. You understand? It's not that all hours are equally valuable. They knew these hours are more valuable than hours later on because they're in those hours are present and are enriched by the mode of goodness. So what's the best thing to do in the mode of goodness? To think, to plan, to perform sadhana. They would then use the mode, the afternoon, which is the mode of passion for what? What is the mode of passion good for? For action. So they would use the afternoon for execution. Because then the Rajagun facilitates execution. And then in the evening, what would they do in the evening? Mode of ignorance is downtime, recreation time, relaxation time. What do you do when you sleep? You use the mode of ignorance to recharge the body. So they were trained in this way. Because they knew there is nothing more powerful than going along with Krishna's nature. Because Krishna's compassion extends beyond the scripture. Krishna's compassion extends to every single aspect of the material creation. You look at the sunset, you know, you go to some tropical climate and you wake up in the morning and you see the sun rise. And you look at the beauty of that sunrise. And then you think that this is the arrangement of Krishna. And this is Krishna's arrangement in the prison. You understand? This is how Krishna has arranged the prison. If the prison looks like this, can you imagine what home looks like? Think about it. So, Our problem is that we don't know how to take advantage. Our disease, we will claim it's something else. It's nothing else. Our disease is simply that we do not know how to take advantage of Krishna's mercy. Therefore, he has to do more and more and more, as is being shown in this pastime. They don't appreciate me. I care about them. I love them. Everything I do is to facilitate them, but still they don't appreciate. What else can I do? I've done everything I can. Okay, what else can I do? Okay, maybe if I take sannyas, then those people, he says, Prabhupada explains here, when fools, interesting use of words, when fools consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be an ordinary human being, and take notes of this point, and thus treated him disrespectfully, the merciful Lord, in order to deliver these offenders, accepted sannyas, so they would offer him obeisances. So you should know this is the nature of the material world. Get your expectations correct. The material world is the facility for the criminals. So when you are treated disrespectfully, understand that that's standard. Not that I can't understand why people are so... No, you're in a prison with criminals. You understand? This is the default setting. The ones who behave well, that's what should surprise you. That's a bit strange, unusual. But the disrespect, there was a study. There are many studies. We're looking at this for some university preaching. There was even something, you know, in the news recently. You know, you can get these self-service tills, in the supermarkets. So you go and you scan the item yourself to buy it. Thank you. You scan the item yourself to buy it. And They studied how the interaction of people in these areas, and they found that there are millions of pounds of fraud. Because when you allow people to scan these things in for themselves, then the temptation is, if I can get away without scanning that particular item, we won't scan it. We'll just take it, maybe scan one thing, one or two things. If there's a way of, maybe tearing off the barcode, we'll leave with a few items which have not been bought. Right? And, people will be surprised. And there's other studies about how if people are in a situation, there was a recent thing, it was in the news. If there's a passerby who's just there by themselves, and they look like they've hurt themselves, if the people are surrounded by other people, they'll walk by. Because they'll consider someone else will take care of it. I don't need to stop. And people may be shocked by this principle, but this is exactly what Krishna says. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of agents for suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. Because the default setting is such that the criminal mentality is the standard. Right? There were even studies which were done about people, who get, when the boss isn't around. Right? You go into work one day, your boss is ill, so they're not there. Will people work as hard? No way. The boss isn't in. No, let's relax. I'll make a few phone calls, check my personal email, because that's the point. This is how the world is. You should know. We forget because we think it's something else. The world is as Krishna says it is. It's not going to be what we imagine it to be. It's just because our desire to be the enjoyer is so deep, it extends itself into us having this arrogance. The world should be, it should conform to my ideas. Why can't people be like this? Why can't they do that? Why should the world conform to your idea? What makes us so important that this world should conform to our ideas? Where did this come from? The world is, and the world will always be, as is described by Krishna. Nothing more, nothing less. So that means that by being a servant, we learn to adjust. And that is one of the reasons why our material distresses go down in Krishna consciousness. Our material distresses go down in Krishna consciousness to the extent that we actually accept what Krishna says to be fact. Because whatever Krishna gives, that's the law. No one can break the law. We simply break ourselves against the law. Krishna explains, this is how you should live. No, Krishna says that, but actually, I've got my own idea. I want to do it. Okay, try it. But just remember that Krishna is the most compassionate. That means that if he's advised us to live our life in a certain way, it means there will not be a superior way to live than what is being advised by the person who loves you the most. If they love you the most, and they are the most intelligent, then whatever instruction they've given, that is the optimal way to do things. Again, it is simply a matter of application. We misapply Krishna consciousness because we don't really understand and accept that the person who's instructing us actually A, cares for us the most, and B, is actually the most intelligent. They actually know what they're doing. They're the most competent. In other words, our misapplication is simply another expression of our lack of faith in Krishna. We can call it so many other things, right? There is the symptom and there is the root cause. You understand? All of the troubles and distresses, they are symptomatic of a root issue. Therefore, Prabhupada, sometimes he may go into the technical detail, other times he says, just be Krishna conscious, chant your rounds properly, study his books, because he knows if you do these fundamental potent practices of devotion, everything else will come from there. So you can take it from two angles. Those who are more technical, you can look for the fine detail. Why should I do it? Those who are more simple, you take the basic fundamental principles and you both achieve the same result by sincere application. Simple for the simple, and actually, it's also complex for those who are complex. He's so merciful. He's so merciful. Let's see if there's any other points we can bring out. Okay, so. So let's look at this principle of sannyas. So what is the principle of sannyas? So we say that sannyas is renunciation. Right? And it is renunciation. At the same time, how do you renounce something that was never yours in the first place? Right? So when you say someone has taken sannyas, they've decided to renounce this world. Really? You know, so previously, you know, somehow you were able to control this world. And now you've decided to renounce. I've given it all up. No, nothing's ever ours. The principle of sannyas is the principle of recognition. It is a principle of recognition. It is a principle of recognizing the state of affairs that has always been the case. What is our state of affairs? Right now, every single living entity, from the atheist down to the most loving, God-conscious person, we are dependent. We have always been dependent. We always will be dependent. Prabhupada said in one place, all that Krishna wants is for you to recognize him, to acknowledge him. Because factually speaking, we're dependent on him all the time. It's like this. You want to fail in something, you still have to get God's permission. Right? People talk about success, but if you want to fail, he has to allow you to fail. That is how dependent the living entity is. Right? Everything is dependent on Krishna. There's not one single thing the living entity is able to do without Krishna's help. So the atheist who wants to forget Krishna, who wants to deny Krishna, who wants to feel good about it, he has to get help from God. Sarvasya chaham riti shani vishto, mata smriti gyanam apohanam cha. Vedeshya sarve aham eva vedyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna has to give that forgetfulness. Right? He has to give the forgetfulness so that they can believe that there is no God. So there is no such thing as independence. And we don't want independence. Again, the principle of education. If we understand that Krishna acts selflessly, then what's the problem with him being God? If we understand that supreme authority does everything for our best interests, then where is the anxiety? Where is the distress? Who creates anxiety and stress within our lives? Right? Who is the author of our distress? Right? Look in the mirror. We are the authors of our own distress. And that is not said as a statement of negativity. It's actually a statement of empowerment. Because if we can accept that, we can change it. There was a pastime where one king wanted to understand the nature of Maya. So his different advisors would all try and explain to him the nature of Maya, and none of their answers satisfied the king. So then one very learned sage said, King, I will show you the nature of Maya. So they went out into the courtyard to the tree. There was a tree there. This sage, he pulled his arms around the trunk of a tree and held his arms together. And then he started screaming, let me go, let me go, let me go. And then the sage explained, my dear king, see, this is the nature of Maya. Right? He said, it's not that Maya is holding on to us. He said, we are holding on to Maya. That is the point. We are holding on to Maya. Lord Chaitanya, in taking this position of sannyas, he is taking a position of strength in relation to the living entities. When we say position of strength, he's all powerful. but I mean on the social level, it's a position of strength in relation to his goal. His goal is to deliver everyone. They're offending him. Therefore, he's moved into the position of a sannyasi to facilitate the service of liberating those people. We were speaking about this a few times, how Prabhupada so wonderfully explains in Srimad Bhagavatam 8th Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 30 in the purport, that there is a need for the living entities to fight Maya from a position of strength. Right? We are clouded, unfortunately, by so much impersonalism that we have this blanket policy that one size fits all. But one size does not fit all. Right? In the conditioned state we're individuals, in the spiritual state we're individuals, therefore impersonalism has never been and will never be a facet of reality. It's unrealistic. Impersonalism is unrealistic in material life. Impersonalism is unrealistic in spiritual life. Impersonalism is unrealistic in the neophyte stage. It's unrealistic as a madhyam. It's unrealistic in the pure stage. In all the areas of life, impersonalism simply does not work. Because a fundamental aspect of reality is individuality. It cannot be destroyed. There is simply the materialistic attempt to cover it. So now, how does this apply to us? Be realistic. Try to understand where you are in your spiritual life. Think. Don't copy other people externally. Try and see, by conscious observation, what things are giving me taste in my spiritual life. Our mission is Prema Pumata Mahan. We want to taste love of Godhead. Now, bearing in mind our conditioned nature and the goal that we're trying to achieve, how are we going to get to the goal of love of Godhead? If you want to copy, it's not fully a problem, but then copy the principle. And then see how by copying the principle, you adjust in such a way that the detail is specific to you. Principle you can copy, right? But the detail has to be personalized according to your situation. We were in Buckland on a retreat. It was a mentorship retreat. And I was observing the people in the retreat, because I just like to observe people and just see what's going on. And it dawned on me that these people aren't here for a mentorship retreat. You know, it's not that the focus of the people who are coming here, maybe there are some, one or two, don't get me wrong. But I was just looking at the people and I realized they're not here for a retreat. They're here because their normal life is so hectic and stressful, they just need time out. You understand what I'm trying to say? I was looking at people thinking, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, one who does not have balance between work and recreation cannot be a yogi. And I was looking at these people, I was thinking, they're stressed out. Let's just be real. They're stressed out. The work life is stressing them out. Their home life, family life is stressing them out. Looking after the kids is stressing them out. And then on top of that, you know, they'll try and squeeze in some sadhana there, and they're going to try and squeeze in some service. Right? These people are stressed. They're living in the city, living in London, it's stressing them out. They probably don't do any kind of recreation. And if they do, they may feel guilty about it because they should be pushing on the mission of Krishna consciousness, right? So what are they looking for? Why are they breathing a sigh of relief at this retreat center? It's because they're away from work. They're away from the pressing agendas, right? They're married, but the guys are hanging out with the guys. The girls are hanging out with the girls. There's a creche there. So those children, they can bring the children and they're being looked after together. They're stressed. They just want to break. They just want some downtime, but in a spiritual way, right? And also, Sachinanda Maharaj, as they're leading the retreat, they like it. Why? Because his mood is very joyful. They've had enough of how dangerous, how bad they are, how bad the material. They just want to relax and have a good time, right? That's why they're there. That's why these people are coming to that retreat. That's why they're coming. Now, Then the question is, well, therefore, you know, Krishna can't. No, it's because no one takes this balance seriously. Balance is different for different people, but if you want to last in Krishna consciousness, you better start thinking. Because what is thinking? Thinking is a symptom of the mode of goodness. And what happens in the mode of goodness, the quality of endurance comes. Right? Without that, it looks wonderful. You know? You get the kind of, yeah, you know, he's doing everything, he's doing this, he's doing that. But how long will that last? How long is that going to last? Are we fighting Maya from a position of strength? Think. So, again, another point that I noticed. There are some devotees, they're flying. They're doing really well. And you may look and say, wow, he's so Krishna conscious, or she's so Krishna conscious. To be honest with you, and I'm going to be really honest, I don't really think that the ones who are flying, I think their being Krishna consciousness is one part of the equation. I think a big part of the equation is that they're just well situated. They're well situated. And because they're well situated, their minds are peaceful, therefore they're able to get more from their japa. They're able to associate more nicely with the devotees. They're able to actually focus on this process with a peaceful mind. Now the caveat is that don't think that therefore that means that just by being peaceful, you know, I've got to be peaceful, otherwise I can't be, I'm not going to do the service, Prabhu. I've got to be peaceful, I can't be Krishna conscious. No. Krishna knows what we want, and he knows what we need. So when you do your best, and you're in a situation where there's some challenge, don't worry. Right? When you've done your best and there's some challenge, then you can know, you can be excited. Krishna's arranging something for my growth. So don't worry about those challenges, but don't artificially make your life difficult in the name of being Krishna conscious. You understand? It's not like, you know, we've got to go outside our comfort zone. Let's go and preach at the strip joint. Right? Because Krishna's, do something difficult to make progress. No, that's called being stupid. You understand? This idea that, you know, if it's really difficult, then, you know, I'm making the most progress. Okay, really, why don't you go and preach Krishna consciousness to a group of robbers, you know, while they're in the middle of robbing a bank? You know, like, what are you doing? You know? Or why don't you go and mutilate yourself to make, I'm not the body. Let me kind of like, you know, stab my chest a few times, you know, to really have that realization. No, that's called Krishna consciousness in the mode of ignorance. You see the point? Think. Many times, those persons who are doing well, they're well situated. And it's because they're well situated. In the material world, they call it the effort to output ratio. Right? And they use it to measure productivity. If you're well situated, then for every unit of effort you put in, you get more out. Very simple. You understand? So when you situate yourself from a position of strength, as Prabhupada has said, 8th Canto, Chapter 2, Text Number 30, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then for every unit of effort you put in, you get more out. Because in the conditioned state, we want to practice Krishna consciousness in the mode of goodness so we can come out of the mode and become fully transcendental. We're talking about a very deep science here. The unthinking Krishna consciousness is actually okay for the neophyte when we first get in. 15, 20 years like that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Yeah? Because it's meant to mature. In the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, you can do just what you like. You see the point? You say, I like this. You know, you like drawing, draw for Krishna. You know, you like parachuting, parachute for Krishna. You know, you like eating ice cream, eat ice cream for Krishna. You can do that in the beginning. But over time, it has to become more and more for Krishna's pleasure, or there will be a block. So there are different things which are acceptable at different stages. And it's just like having a child. You know, the child puts everything in its mouth when they're a baby. You say, oh, that's cute. The 35-year-old who's pulling things in his mouth, he's like, what's the matter with you? You crazy? You know? You got a wife and family. You know, you're sucking on straws. Are you mad? You know, what is wrong with you? Grow up. So let's not confuse our misapplication with the process. There's something very dangerous that happens when we continuously misapply a teaching. Right? Something very dangerous happens on the subconscious level because we start to equate this rich, profound and exciting spiritual culture that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas. We start to equate it with something that is difficult, dry, a struggle, unfulfilling. And then you see the enthusiasm starts to wane and diminish. Right? But the enthusiasm hasn't waned and diminished. It's not that our enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness has waned. It's our enthusiasm for the caricature. The caricature of Krishna consciousness that we have been so-called practicing. So, we actually beg you, take advantage of the association of devotees and the teachings and try to understand how to apply your Krishna consciousness properly. To apply it properly in a way that will actually invigorate and inspire you. Try to find your position of strength. It's not that you have to change anything. We may be engaging in all of the limbs of devotional service, but when you're doing it, be conscious. Prabhupada says, he sometimes encodes things. He says, you have to become conscious before you can become what? Krishna conscious. Why did he say that? Because he knew that if you practice Krishna consciousness properly, and if you pay attention, things will stand out to you. You'll start to see, I practice everything, but you know what? I particularly gain strength and enthusiasm and inspiration from studying Shastra. So I will use that, because this is a trick, this is a secret. In Nectar of Devotion, it explains that one can practice all of these nine limbs of devotional service in different modes. So what happens is, because we've come into this life with previous conditioning, we don't practice all of the limbs of devotional service equally. There are some aspects of devotional service that, due to our previous life practices, we practice them with greater quality than others. There are some people in their previous lives, they were monks living in a monastery and they didn't even talk to people. They were doing mourner vrat and they were just engaged in prayer all the time, right? So your vandanam is very deep, because they practice it over so many lifetimes. So when they pray in this lifetime, the quality is very refined. Because they engage in that limb of devotional service in a higher mode, they're able to draw more spiritual strength and blessings from that particular limb. They still do everything, but that particular area gives them more taste and more strength. For someone else, in their previous life, they were very attentive in the process of hearing. Right? So they gain more strength by the hearing process. They find it particularly nourishes and inspires them. They still practice everything, but they draw down more strength from the Shravanam, because that is the particular limb of devotional service that they're able to do in a higher mode. So Prabhupada knew that if we just listen to what he actually says, not this caricature, but listen and try to follow properly, you'll see that as you're practicing devotional life, certain things stand out to you. Certain things invigorate you or infuse you more. And therefore, you're able to draw more spiritual strength from those areas, because it's a personalized package of spiritual life. So we want to follow the principle, right? Because in the conditioned state, the way that we arrange the material energy can facilitate or go against our spiritual life. I mean, I'll be honest. I was thinking the other day, what are the spiritual problems that devotees have? I couldn't think of any. I couldn't think of one spiritual problem that devotees have. There are social problems that affect their spiritual life. So yes, that's there. There are mental or emotional problems that affect their spiritual life. Yes, there are physical or health problems. But I couldn't think of one single spiritual problem. I couldn't think of one single problem that is directly spiritual that affects devotees or hinders them. Isn't that interesting? Your mind's giving you trouble, so it's affecting your spiritual life. You're having issue with relationships in the Sangha, so that social is affecting your spiritual life. Your health is giving you problems, so it's affecting your spiritual life. Where's the spiritual problems? Where are these spiritual problems? So think about that. The powerful thing is, when you are properly situated, when you have personalized, in conjunction with the instructions of your spiritual master and your authorities, when you have personalized your spiritual life, you will really own it. And you can call it the light bulb effect. When you're properly plugged in, you get the maximum light. It's brilliant. The brilliance comes through. And that light, not only is it brilliant for you, but it illuminates the path for everyone else. Because we are feeding off the acceleration and advancement of each other. You want to help other people get your own spiritual life in order. Have a clear understanding of who you are and what you need, so that you will have ongoingly, year in, year out, a strong, powerful, inspired, and invigorating spiritual life. We should be so full and abundant in our spiritual life that it overflows into other people's cups. You understand? Then your giving is serious. Right? There's a type of caricature of giving that devotees have. And the caricature is that the devotees are practically feeling dry themselves. And there's this kind of attempt to give. Right? Practically to the point of breaking. That doesn't mean you should stop giving. It means keep giving and fill your own cup up at the same time, so you can actually have something that you can continuously give. Plug yourself into the source so that your giving becomes unlimited. Because all that you're giving ultimately is what you have received. Right? They say that you cannot, as long as you're a student, only as long as you're a student, you're a teacher. The moment you stop learning, you stop being able to teach. Because what are you going to give people? You know, you need to give class. Are you hearing classes? You need to share the teachings. Are you hearing the teachings? Are you contemplating the teachings? Are you understanding? Because if you don't have realization, what are you going to share with people? Again, this flat caricature of Krishna consciousness. So the thing isn't the culture. It's not the culture. It is our application of the culture. The acharyas want you to have the best. Right? And they know what they're doing. Right? Upadeshamrita is given by Rupa Goswami. He is Rupa Manjari in the spiritual world. They know how to relate. They know how to engage in this loving devotional service. Our teachings come from Nitya Siddhas who are situated within the highest, most confidential realms in the spiritual world. They know what they're doing. They have known for eternity. But do we apply what they've given? Okay, so we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Janitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Prabhu.